The Chinese government has moved hundreds of thousands of Tibetan nomads off pastures and into towns in recent years. Beijing calls it a move from subsistence living into the modern economy. Tibetans aren't so sure. They've got mixed feelings about the move, especially since most of them weren't given a choice. The World's Mary Kay Magstead reports from the western Chinese province of Qinghai.
The edge of a highway isn't a traditional place for Tibetan nomads to bring their herds to graze, but these sheep and goats are nibbling here nonetheless. Their owner, Jixian Cairong, is one of hundreds of thousands of Tibetan nomads whom the Chinese government has moved from the mountains into dense communities near roads. He says the change hasn't been all bad. He says the new homes are better than the old ones, so less likely to collapse in an earthquake. Of course, he says, he and other Tibetans around here tend to just live in these new homes in the winter and in tents in mountains in the summer. That allows them to rent out their houses to tourists who come to visit the vast Qinghai Lake just a few miles down the road. The village's 70-year-old Communist Party chief, Laftan, says resettlement is giving the 700 or so Tibetans in his village more options for earning a living while also helping to restore overgrazed pastures. He says, we needed to strike a balance between herding practices and environmental protection. We reduced our livestock from 30,000 to 20,000. But reducing the human population on the grasslands is trickier, he says. The idea is to get more Tibetans educated in Mandarin Chinese and trained for jobs in towns and cities. That means leaving a centuries-old nomadic culture behind. Nicholas Bakelin, a China researcher for Human Rights Watch, says the Chinese government has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on resettling Tibetan nomads. That's in part to try to win them over, but also to better control them.
The baseline, of course, is that China has a problem with Tibetan population, that they fear that their political loyalty is not with the Chinese state, and that they stand in the way of exploiting the natural riches of these areas, natural riches that are needed to fuel China's economic development.
Bakelin wrote a report on Tibetan nomads 2 years ago, and he says of the 100 who were interviewed, many cited the same systematic problems with the resettlement process.
One of them was lack of consultation. Another one was the problems with the fact that having abandoned their traditional livelihood, which was to raise herds, they were given some sort of job training, but then couldn't compete really with the new Chinese migrants.
And that's at odds with the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, which the Chinese government has ratified. It prohibits depriving any people of its means of subsistence. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food, Olivier de Schutter, pointed this out when he visited China last month. He suggested that a better option in many cases would be to rehabilitate and manage overgrazed pastures in a sustainable way. But for now, the resettlement program is pushing ahead, including some within government think tanks say there's not enough consultation or follow-up with Tibetans to see if they're actually doing better economically. On the shores of Qinghai Lake, some resettled Tibetans have found a new stream of income, bringing their yaks for Han Chinese tourists to sit on and pose for happy snaps. Other Han Chinese tourists put on Tibetan costumes for more photos by the lake. One young Tibetan man, who asked not to be named or recorded, stands near his yak and takes in the scene. He says, "No Tibetans I know like being resettled, but what can we do? The government is stronger, and we can only go along." For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Qinghai Lake, Qinghai, China.